What John gave was a dual prophecy. The apostolic age was getting ready to close. Last days of the apostolic age. Now at the end, we have the same thing repeated again. So also remember that in many prophecies, you have type, you have anti-type. You have first fulfillment, you have last fulfillment. So we need to really understand and put these things together the proper way. Now, chapter 12 and verse 4 is very instructive. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. How long has that been going on in our lifetimes? Since the invention of the automobile, the telephone, and electricity, right? Yes. Now, this does not tell us either how intense this will be and how many will be doing it, and you don't understand it until you are stuck in a traffic jam on a 10-lane freeway going at 1 mile an hour. That happened to me one time at 2 o'clock in the morning when I got back from a trip when I was living in Southern California, and I came back in at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was a traffic jam at 2 o'clock in the morning on a 10-lane freeway, 5 lanes on each side, and we were all bumper to bumper, barely going along, and I was tired and exhausted and ready to get home and get to bed, and I said to myself, what are all these people doing on the road? You know, after all, I want to hurry up and get home, go to bed. And I said, stupid, you're here too. See? Doesn't tell us, but it's happening. Knowledge is increasing so fast that by the time you buy whatever you're going to buy and you use it for 30 days, it's already obsolete. I've got a 10-year-old computer. I just do word processing. I don't know what I'm going to do if I have to get all these newfangled ding-dangles here and start working with them. See? But anyway, it teaches us a lesson. Now continuing on. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, one on this side and one on the other side of the bank of the river. And the one said to the man clothed in linen who was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now remember, Daniel wrote when? Clear back in the late 500s B.C. Remember, they didn't start restoring the temple in Jerusalem till 515 B.C. So this was sometime before that. How long is that for us? Over 2,500 years. Verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, and when he held up his right hand and left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, saying, it shall be for time, times, and half a times. 3.5 years again. Then we have the 1260 days, the 1290 days, and the 1335 days. I want to read you an inspired, uninspired, marginal reference from my old Bible, my Oxford Wide Margin that I got in 1960, referring to the 1260, 1290, and 335 days. Now, I dutifully took this down as an obedient student in the prophecy class at Ambassador College, I think in about 1961. All right. Here was the interpretation back then. The Mosque of Omar was built. How many have heard this prophecy? None of you. Good. In 37 A.D., 1290 days brings you to 1927, which was the calling of the great apostle. The difference between 1290 and 1335 is 45. And a day being a year, you add on 25 years, and what do you come to? 1972. The year we were to flee to Petra. Remember? What's the matter with all of you? You didn't make it. You got left behind. No. So much for inspired notes. Okay. So you see, we must prove all things, and those things we really don't know, we really need to ask God to help us to understand, and we need to realize this. When the proper time for understanding it comes, we will understand it. If it isn't that time, we can make guesses, but we may be wrong. That's why we all need cowbells. Okay? Now, let's come to the book of Revelation, and let's see some time periods again. Book of Revelation. And let's come to chapter 12. Okay, chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So the ones that Satan is interested in are us. He's got the whole world in his hands. But they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb, through the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, O you heavens, and those who dwell in them. Woe to those who inhabit the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has only a short time. When that happens, that's the beginning of all hell breaking loose. Hasn't happened yet. Will happen. Let's go on. We'll see we have a time frame here. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child, and that's referring to the church. Is the church going to marry Christ? Of course. Now, here's what everybody has counted on for a long time. And two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman that she might fly to her place in the wilderness where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Again, 3.5 years. Now the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people are aiming to go to the place of safety rather than aiming to get into the kingdom of God. But remember this, God is the one who's going to make the choice, and just put in your notes there, Luke 17, that the angels are the ones who are going to take you to a place of safety if you go. And if it's Petra, you'll find out when you get there. If it's not, you will find out when you get there. And if you think you know where it is today and don't go there, you will never know where it is until you're resurrected and ask some of those who had been there, and they will tell you, right down there. Okay? And the serpent cast water out of his mouth as a river so that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood, but the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth, swallowed up the river that the dragon had cast out of his mouth. Then the dragon was furious with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed, not the remnant. Remnant in English implies relating like to a bolt of cloth, a little bit that's left over on the bolt after most of it's already gone. But this means the rest because it's just reverse of what we've always thought. A few are going to a place of safety that God is going to choose. The rest of us have to give our lives in martyrdom, standing for the kingdom of God. And remember, you have already died in Christ. Christ died for you. Are you willing to die for Christ if that's what he requires? It's not the foolishness of the Muslims today with, you know, suicide bombers and all that sort of thing. But nevertheless, it identifies them. The rest of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that they don't have knowledge. If you have, you keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Christ, you understand the Bible, don't you? Yes. Were the apostles martyred? Yes. Did they have knowledge? Yes. Were they faithful to God? Yes. Were they sinners and Laodiceans? No. All right. Point is, 3.5 years, chapter 13. Let's come over here to the beast. Let's pick it up here in verse 3, chapter 13. And one of his heads, as it were, was slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. And what we need to understand with the book of Revelation is this. When it says the whole earth, all the world, it means exactly that. We are dealing in worldwide events. So the whole world's going after him. And they worship the dragon. That's what all of this occult coming in the world is about. Who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who has power to make war against him. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months, which is what? 3.5 years. Calculated a little bit differently. It may be a few days longer or a few days shorter. The 42 months depict the time of evil, but it's approximately 3.5 years. So all the way through Daniel, Revelation, prophecies of the church, the time of the end, let's put it this way, the end, 3.5 years, is depicted as time, times, and half a times, or 42 months. Now, we also have something here in Revelation 11, very similar to it, not quite exactly the same, but we have this concerning the temple and the two witnesses. And years ago, I wondered why we always equated these two measurements of time as equivalent and simultaneous. So let's read it. Verse 1, Revelation 11. Then the angel gave me a measuring rod like a staff, saying, arise, measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. But leave out the court that is without the temple area and do not measure it, because it has been given up to the Gentiles, and they shall trample upon the holy city for 42 months. Same time we have back there in Revelation 13, 42 months, reign of evil. But notice this. Verse 3, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And so I asked the question, and this is what got me started on what you now have as the chart in Revelation. And the reason being this. If the two witnesses are going to be in the first resurrection, which they will be, probably the first two resurrected, and if the resurrection is on Pentecost instead of trumpets, their 1260 days starts before the trampling of the temple. That's why there are two different counted differently. But nevertheless, we're still dealing with 3.5 years in the case of the two witnesses, plus a little bit. So if you have the chart and go back and look at that, I think you'll find that a little more interesting. I won't get into the details here, except to say when the end of the end time begins, we're dealing with 3.5 years. I think everybody can agree that that is the proper conclusion with the scriptures we've gone through. All right. Now, let's come back here to Matthew 24. And let's talk about another thing concerning the end time. Matthew 24. Let's pick it up here in verse 13. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. You endure to the end of your life, or if you're still alive when Christ returns, to the end. One of the two. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. And that was not accomplished when 8 million copies of the Plain Truth were printed monthly. Did 8 million copies of the Plain Truth, if it were distributed worldwide, do you think that gave a witness to the whole world? And when was the last time it was printed? And has not much of that generation gotten older and died? Yes. And we can't leave it to the two witnesses either, can we? So this means there's a whole lot more for all the churches of God to do, correct? And we better be doing it however God can open the door and make it happen. Also to add to that, Mark 13 shows that it's going to be published. And as I mentioned before, and someone mentioned to me at lunch, did you know that China is going to be producing more Bibles than any other country in the world? I said, yes, I know that, because the United Bible Societies has contracted a printing company in eastern China to print 800,000 copies of the Bible per year. And it's interesting that it's going to be in that part of the world which is close to all of the nations which have rarely, if ever, heard the gospel. Huh? And I think since United Bible Societies is doing it, it is going to be in every major language group of those nations in that area. And in 10 years, if there's that much time and they can print 800 million Bibles a year, that means there are going to be 8 billion more Bibles in the world in addition to the 6.5 billion that are here now. And the gospel is contained in the Bible. And wherever the Bible goes, whether they read it or not, they have it. Now, there needs to be preaching, too. And with the internet and all the things that we have available, I think God is going to fulfill this scripture to the nth degree. Let's also understand something about prophecies, which is this. God does not fulfill prophecies just a itty-witty bit. And no one knows anything about it because it's so small and insignificant that no one can see or understand it, but God does. He fills it to the full. So that everyone's going to know. All right, let's go on. Verse 15, therefore, when you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, parenthetical statement, probably added by John when he edited the New Testament for canonization, because Jesus did not say these words because he was speaking. This is intended for those who are reading. And it says, let the one who reads, let him understand. Why would John put that in there? Because when he was canonizing the New Testament close to 100 AD, he could look back and see in Jerusalem there was no temple. And he could look back and see that there was no man of sin, the son of perdition, to stand in the holy places, the abomination that makes desolate. So he wrote this down for the future generations, that there must be a temple and there must be an abomination of desolation. And as we know at 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the man of sin, the son of perdition, stand in the holy place and say that he's God manifested in the flesh. So if you see that on the news, no, you ain't going to place of safety. You better get ready. All right? Here's how urgent it is going to be. Now, you talk about something hard to do, and you consider this with those who used to drive to church and always have a Petra box in the trunk of their car. Because maybe the message would come down, we're fleeing. Go to the airport and get your ticket and fly to Jordan. Remember, we heard all those silly things, didn't we? Yes. What does it say here? Let the one who is in Judea flee into the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Go. The one who's in the field, not let him not go back to take his garment, his garments. What are those women who are expecting a child and those who are nursing infants in those days? Pray that your flight be not in the winter nor on the Sabbath. Very interesting. Tells us two things. Sabbath keeping is enforced at the end, right? Okay. When you look at the chart, I think it's interesting how it fell. When I counted backwards from a Pentecost resurrection, 1,335 days, we came to 2 to 3 weeks after the Feast of Tabernacles. Before winter, and after the feast. Now, that may not be dogma, but it sounds very reasonable that that's the way it will happen, provided there is a Pentecost resurrection, which it should. Because Pentecost pictures the finishing of the grain harvest. Okay, now I'm leading up to something here, so hang on, I'm getting there. For then shall be great tribulation. Such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be again. And if those days were not limited. Now the King James says cut short. And how many prophecies have you heard by even Protestant ministers and ministers in the Church of God which said, God can cut it short at any time. And I finally figured out how Franklin Graham says, well, Jesus could come at any time, maybe even tonight. And if you know the scriptures, you think, why would he say that? Because he's counting on the rapture. Come for you in the rapture tonight. No, when Christ comes, it's not going to be secret, and it's not going to be a rapture. We'll see all of that in just a minute. I won't get to Pentecost in this sermon. You'll have to wait and get it on a CD. But we're making progress. It means limited. How many times did we see the time that God gave to limited is how much? 3.5 years. 42 months. Time and half a time, correct? Does it mean cut short that he is going to shorten the time he has given for it? He's not going to cut the prophecy of times, half a times in half and say, that's enough, we're going to go on from here. No, he has limited the overall end time events to 3.5 years. Not going to have the sudden cutting short and changing of prophecy, because if he changes prophecy, then his word is not true. Ever think of that? Yes. Had been limited, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be limited. Now, let's come back to the book of Revelation and do a little survey of the book of Revelation, which will help us get a perspective of the layout of the book of Revelation. Now, as you look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all of the other prophets. Daniel has the prophecies of all of the major Gentile nations and empires of the world, yes? But what is missing in most of those prophecies, except unless God gave us a remnant, in Ezekiel 3, that he took some of the hairs that he told Ezekiel to cut up and burn with fire. He put some in the pocket of his coat and then took some of those and threw them into the fire. Where's the prophecy of the church? Revelation 2 and 3. That's where the prophecies of the church are located. Now let's see, before we get to Revelation 2 and 3, because we're just going to do an overview so we can get things into the 3.5 year time frame. Okay? Everything at the end must fit into a 3.5 year time frame. God has limited it to that. So our task then is to find out how that 3.5 year time period God himself divides. That fair enough? Then this will help us to understand about the resurrection. This will help us to understand the other things that take place as well. But just to show you how important and meaningful the book of Revelation is. And by the way, the book of Revelation is one division of the Bible. One book. The seventh division. And the reason that it is because you need to have all the rest of the Bible in understanding as you're coming up to Revelation in order to understand the book of Revelation. And once you understand the book of Revelation, you will see it is a combination of literal meaning and fulfillment, as well as symbolic descriptions indicating literal fulfillments. It's not all in symbolic language. You have to discern the symbolic language from the literal language. For example, Revelation 13, the beast, 7 heads and 10 horns, that's symbolic language for governments. then it comes down to the one man. All the world will worship the beast. That is not symbolic. That is literal. The whole world's going to worship the beast. And he's going to be given authority over every nation and language and tongue and kindred. That is literal. Worldwide. Now, when it talks about the return of Christ, it shows a tremendous thing is going to take place. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1, verse 3. Verse 4. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. So there's a message to all the churches of God there. Grace and peace be to you from him who is, Christ is now living, who was, the Lord God manifested in the flesh, who is to come, the returning Savior of the world, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, which are the seven eyes of God going through the whole earth so that God knows what's going on the earth, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now here's something that God always does, and this is important also, as you noticed in the sermonettes by Roger and Wayne. God always gives us the goal first. Especially when there's trouble coming, so that we can keep our eyes on the goal. So that's exactly what he does here. And has made us kings and priests to God and his Father. That's as good as done if we make it into the kingdom of God. When this was spoken, it hadn't yet been fulfilled. This is what you call a prophetic perfect, which is this. If God says it's going to be, it is. Just a matter of time. To him be glory and the sovereignty into the ages of eternity, which tells you how long you're going to be living with Christ. And I think it's interesting, as was pointed out in the sermonette by Wayne, before the ages of time, God had the plan for eternal life. See, so we need to open our minds to the great scope of the Bible. Ages of eternity, amen. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. All right, we'll talk about that a little later. And every eye shall see him. Now, since we're talking about worldwide events, how is every eye of every human being on the earth is going to see him? Now, we'll show that a little bit later about the sign of the Son of Man. And Ben Ambrose wrote an interesting paper with the help of a mathematics teacher to calculate how far out from the earth must the sign of the Son of Man be for every eye to see it that is between the upper latitude of the North Pole and the lower latitude of the South Pole. It's going to be an amazing thing. So every eye is going to see. Listen, the greatest event that is going to happen since the creation of the world is going to take place. The return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the saints. So these are humongous prophecies. So let's read it. Every eye shall see him, and those who pierced him, that's a direct reference to the Jews, and the Romans. Now, if you read in the book The Day Jesus the Christ Died, where I have there, who killed Jesus? Well, the Jews hate to be accused of killing him, but Paul said they did. But the high priest represented all the religions of the world in that time when Jesus was killed. All the religions that man has invented because he died for the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, right? Yes. Okay. The Jews, as the nation, represented the people of the world. Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers represented the governments of this world. So everybody who has ever lived and died had a part in killing Christ. Otherwise, he could not have died for the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. But every eye is going to see him. This is going to be a big-time event. Those who pierced him. Now, you can apply that to the soldiers at the second resurrection. What's going to happen when they're resurrected and they are going to realize that they were the ones rolling the dice on his garments? And it was prophesied in the Bible that they would do so. And they were the ones who thrust the spear into his side. Literally the one soldier who did it. Now think about the repentance that's going to come upon that man. And all the tribes of the earth shall rejoice and welcome him with open arms. And Fox News and CNN and ABC and NBC and MSNBC are all going to send their reporters out there to see what his press conference is going to be in taking over the world. Never happened that way. You've got to have a little humor in it. And all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Now the reason that he spends his time setting the stage for the rest of the book of Revelation is so that we can understand the magnitude of the events that are going to take place. So he says, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Get no greater authority than that. And I, John, who am also your brother and joint partaker in the tribulation and the kingdom and endurance of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I cannot imagine in my own mind what it must have been like for the Apostle John to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ and to write it down. And I imagine that almost everything he wrote down was very hard for him to comprehend. That's why he was told, write what you see, what I tell you. So these are the words of Christ. So we'll finish right here and we'll pick it up with the seven churches next time I continue this leading up to Pentecost resurrection. I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, and I heard a loud voice like a trumpet behind me saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what you see, write in a book, and send it to the churches that are in Asia. God wants the churches to know this information. The world will not know it. And very few of the churches of this world, even if they are called Christian, will not understand it. They may understand bits and pieces of it here and there. Send it to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then we have followed up the prophecy of the churches of God. So once we understand that, then we can begin to understand the layout of the rest of the book of Revelation and the events that will take place and why the resurrection must be on Pentecost and not on trumpets. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.